Hey, all you evil rogues, stop looting the graves and listen up. It's time for another episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a show dedicated to the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, tips, interviews, and reviews for the community, by the community. And now, here's your host.
Hi, I'm Michelle, a.k.a. Liso.
Hello, I'm Trey, a.k.a. Eshercon Zelo.
Hi, and I'm Jay, a.k.a. Novinka Naroda.
Yep. What have y'all been up to?
I'm wearing pants.
I am playing OC again.
Hey, guess where I'm at?
Orange County?
Nope. You're in your desk chair.
I made it to the Crossroads Keep. And then I was talking to Howling Foxy on Instant Messenger. And I go, so how far do I have to go? And she goes, oh, you're about halfway. And I went, no! It seems like it's taking me forever.
I am still in chapter one.
Me too.
And I am in...
I'm in chapter two. I'm ahead of you.
I think technically it's act one, is it not?
Yes, true. Act one and act two and three.
I am in the Bone Gnasher's cave.
Ah.
Getting my butt kicked. But I did get the woofies. What's the second? What's the second cave you go to? The second set of orcs, the eye gougers maybe or something like that.
Yeah.
I got the wolfies to help.
I don't know.
Me.
I haven't been there seven times. So you think someone that's been through it seven times would know?
I don't know who has been in it seven times. That is insane. So anyway, what happened?
This is number eight.
I formatted my computer. I forgot to save my character, so I have to make one that I'm endeared to go into the expansion.
So you lost all seven. Did you play all seven with different characters? Different characters? So you had all those and you did not save.
I forgot to save the folder. It was a very, very depressing moment. But however, I am playing a druid, which I have not played. And I like her. Yeah, but she can kick some booty. I'm serious. You know, I use Kalgar, or now that I have Cassavir now. And I use them to do tanking, and you know what? She runs her spells better than I ever could, so I just let her do her thing.
Yeah, I've done that. I've started playing the character, and then I'll switch to a different character, like Kalgar, like you're saying, and just let the computer, the AI, play mine and see what happens.
Yeah, the AI is more intelligent than I am, apparently, because she kicks some serious butts.
I've done that as well with my warlock.
See, we're all just too cool. We're so cool. I can't believe how cool we are.
We're too cool.
We're so cool that the AI plays better than we do.
Hey, Jay, you know what's sad? Is she's probably going to finish this eighth run.
I'm going to
get done with your first butt.
Probably.
Okay, you know, that's enough.
Maybe even before I finish.
Hey, guys, I got an email. Do you guys want to move on to the emails?
Sure.
I got an email from Jason. And one part I want to talk about here, he was having a problem with his password. And he emailed us saying he needed some help with it. So I fixed it for him. But in that same email, he was also said that if you're looking for a laptop to play Neverwinter Nights and Neverwinter Nights 2 on XP, and he gives some really detailed specs on some Alienware laptops, and a lot of them looked really interesting. I think, unfortunately, they're out of my price range, so, because we're talking a couple of times.
Alienware is expensive.
Yeah. But I wanted to thank him for his feedback, because he went into like several different, several paragraphs of detailed specs. So, Jason, thanks for the information. I was not aware of those machines, but I am now, and unfortunately, I would have to take a mortgage on the house, I think, to buy one of them.
I think those are strictly gaming machines made just for gamers. Maxed out big time.
Laptops for gamers. You can game anywhere.
That was the only email I have. Do you guys have any other listener feedback or comments that you wanted to include?
There were several feedback in there.
I want to thank Dave Eat to Surf for sending in the way Speedy Gonzalez really sounds.
Since we did such a really good job of it.
Don't include me in that.
I listened to it, and I'm pretty close.
Uh-huh. For a white guy in the Midwest
did you listen to it?
With no accent.
He goes, He goes, okay, nice try on with Speedy Gonzalez. He does sometimes say yee-haw, but he sounds like an excited mouse from way down south. I'm not sure what it was I heard on the podcast. Anyway, he gave me a link to the sound file, so. I'd also like to mention too that Eat to Serve also said he was creating a module for Neverwinter Nights 1.
I saw that.
For kids to play.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and so
it would be really cool to have a developer's journal, audio journal. Hint.
You know, that's the last thing I asked him. He goes, when I asked him he should send us a mod spotlight, he goes, ha, yikes, Never well, thought I'm of not- actually having other people play this thing with their kids.
A little.
Needs some spit shine, but I'll spiff it up and see about a spotlight. Giggle, giggle.
A little improv, I did read on the forums on BioWare that they are going to be judging the art contest. However, they are trying to get the patch out first.
Thank you. I looked all over trying to find some information on that the last couple of days.
Quite well.
I couldn't find anything.
Rob McGinnis posted it just a couple of days ago.
Very cool. Online retailer Newegg, which can be found at the famous newegg.com, can you believe this, has Neverwinter Nights 1 Diamond DVD Edition for $9.99. They've got a $4.99 three-day business shipping, which brings the grand total to $15 for picking up an extra copy of the DVD.
Yeah, I might pick up an extra copy just to have it.
Oh, yeah, and put it on every machine in the house. You can check that out by going to newegg.com and searching for Neverwinter Nights, or check out the shrinkster.com URL at S8D, as in David.
And over at Atari.com, we got an update on Mask of the Betrayer. It'll be available mid-September to early October. There's a nice article over there to check out. The game is finished and ready to hit the shelves, they say, but Atari wants to ensure that they can do a simultaneous worldwide launch. As soon as the translations are complete, you'll see it on your closest game store. So go check that out at www.atari.com/NWN2. Or you can use your shrinkster.com at Sam8Mary.
And IGN's RPG Vault has just published part one of two, part interview with Obsidian's Kevin Saunders, Neverwinter Nights 2 Mask of the Betrayer interview, part one. Includes an exclusive screenshot and model composite, as well as exploring what the Mask of the Betrayer team wanted to have as a final product, and how it could build upon what they had learnt? Oh, you are so southern. With Neverwinter Nights 2, the URL, nwnvaultign.com/fullstory.php. Oh God, I get the hard one.
Just give the shrinkster URL. That's the reason for the shrinkster URL.
Go to shrinkster S8E.
Weren't you trying to get an interview with us, with Kevin Saunders, with the podcast?
Yes, I have emailed him and I have called and left a voicemail and I'm still waiting. He's probably just psychotically busy right now, so.
I would imagine. As you know, I like to look through who registers on our website, and we had a new guy register on our website, Merlin, who has the Fan Fiction Reviewers Guild off of the Vault. And you can check that out at ffrg.nwnvault.ign.com. And they are starting a new, fan fiction reviewer website. They're going to have some podcast. The podcast is going to have some sketches and a sketch show and regular news spots. They'll be broadcasting something called Generica 2201, which is a radio adaptation of the comic strip by Chris Irby and Earl Maximus Pinto. So y'all might want to check that out.
Sounds cool.
The Spanish site is it DeLan or D-L-A-N? I'm sure it's Dragonlance Adventures something. I'm not sure exactly what it is. But the Spanish site DeLan has an interview with Rogue Deo Studio developers on their upcoming Planescape Trilogy mod for Neverwinter Nights 2. Monty, Hippo, and Ryan answer questions on their latest effort to recreate this unique Dungeons & Dragons setting. Before anyone gets excited, no, this is not a recreation or follow-up to the popular Planescape Torment game. So find out more about that. Check out shrinkster.com/S8F as in Frank.
That should be good. I enjoyed interviewing them. Okay, Neverwinter Nights Extender, NWNX. Team, have released NWNX4 Final for Neverwinter Nights 2. For those of you not familiar with how it works, including me, here's an expert from the main developer himself. NWNX adds extra functionality such as SQL database support, additional scripting functions, performance monitoring, and many other features to the games. Neverwinter Nights and Neverwinter Nights 2, it supports a plugin architecture, which makes easy for third-party developers to extend the game even further. And you can find that at shrinksters.com at S8G. Is that a G?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
G.
G.
The community content compilation, dubbed the 3C, is a compilation of NWN2's best and most sought-after custom content. The author has made a design choice that many builders will welcome. Each part or hack of 3C can be used separately, which means you don't have to have redundant content taking up space doing nothing. There's also a builder's package and fantastic documentation which explains everything you might want to know. 3C is easy for players to use as it only takes extracting the hacks into NWN2 hack folder and then forgetting about it. Finally, the author of 3C has put up a set of standards which will have to be met by the other authors in order for their custom content to be included in the 3C compilation, which means that the community content compilation, 3C, will always remain clean and hassle-free.
Is this going to be like a CEP?
I think it's very similar to that.
Okay.
So if you want to check out that that's just been released for NWN2, you can go to shrinkster.com at S8H as in Harry.
Exportron Animation Exporter release. That was the 3D animation exporter for the Granny plugin. So if you are a modeler, you'll want to love this. And I love the way I started this out. The Granny is on the loose. Animators, get ready. You can now bring your custom creatures to life in Neverwinter Nights 2 with the Exportron plugin for 3DS Max. This plugin, used by the developers at Obsidian, will allow you to animate the creatures, buildings, and other objects you create in 3D Studio Max for use in Neverwinter Nights. They have also released a series of videos used internally for learning to work with the plugin. This can be yours for $9.95 plus shipping and handling, and that's not all. No, just kidding. For more information about how to get your hands on this plugin for 3DS Max, check out shrinkster.com S8K.
Obsidian has also announced the release of the dedicated server creator. This handy application will copy all of the necessary files to run the server by itself into a new directory. This directory can be copied and placed on a separate machine, and you can see that at shrinkster.com at S8I.
I'm sure there's tons of people that either been doing that by hand or waiting on some tool like this to come along. That's going to be a handy one.
Hey, I wanted to mention something over on the Neverwinter Nights 2 community update blog.
Okay.
On August 17th, our own Kaveen, who is the leader and grandmaster over at, you know, ShadowThieves.net and the Galsburg Persistent World, he was on vacation in California and got to actually stop by the Obsidian offices.
Ooh.
And he got to have lunch with Rob McGinnis and a whole bunch of other folks.
Oh, did he take a tape recorder? No, I'm just kidding.
And
that would have been awesome. That would have been the only way we could have get Rob McGinnis to give an interview.
No kidding, right?
And what was cool, though, is they made him sign an NDA before he could walk through the door, which I thought was kind of cool. But anyway, there's an article over there on that. You need to check it out. He writes about his experience. He got to actually go into the office. After they went to lunch, they took him on a tour of the offices, and he got to meet, like, people he had only heard of.
Oh, guys, let's go on a road trip.
It was like a...
No joke.
It was like a gamer's dream vacation. And then guess what he got to do? After he got through meeting everybody, they sat him down in front of a computer, and he got to actually play Mask of the Betrayer for like 2 hours.
Are we hitting the road trip? Seriously, come on, let's go.
Yeah, and what has he done for the community? I swear. We do a podcast every 2 weeks. What do we get? Nothing.
I know.
Rob, let the podcast team have some preview Mask of the Betrayers, and we can give them away after the release.
It'd just be embarrassing because Trey would be out in the parking
lot. I know you listen to us.
Driving white cars.
How do you know he listens to us?
I know he does.
Really?
Anyway, I found another late item to add to the news that just came in tonight.
Oh, hold on a second. I need to get a link to that.
Okay. You're not done yet. Sorry.
If you go over, you can check out that article, like I said, on the August 17th blog over at the Neverwhere Nights 2 Community Update. The URL for that is forums.obsidianent.com.
Okay. Can I go now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, I want to say one more thing. He said, I couldn't believe that I was meeting Josh Sawyer and Chris Avalon, legends and great guys, and so many others whose names I had only known through forum logins.
This just in, Aspire, working on Mac Neverwinter Nights 2 client. Did I hear the whole Mac universe rejoice all at once? Aspire Media is working on a Macintosh conversion of Neverwinter Nights 2. Can you figure that out? Macworld featured this article today. I just ran across it. Said this news has been kind of leaking out through Amazon.com because it's been showing up with placeholder pages, and Aspire is not able to offer an official press release stating as the article was posted. An Aspire spokesperson did confirm the news on Tuesday. Neverwinter Nights 2 is, of course, our fantasy role-playing game that we all love from the Forgotten Realms arena. And you guys on Mac, thanks for hanging out. They're actually going to get it to you. So we'll keep our eyes on this, see if we can get a release date out of it. I thought that was an interesting post. I will get this link in the show notes. It is rather long, but it is on macworld.com. So you just can search on Neverwinter Nights 2.
Okay, I had one other thing I wanted to mention. This is more game-related than really Neverwinter Nights related. But anyway, one of the guys in our clan was in Dallas a couple of weeks ago. And he picked up a game called Star Force, which had some software copyright protection tool on it. And he picked it up for like $20, I think, at some discount store. You know, when he got home and he installed it, and it installed this software copy protection tool, and it like fried his DVD drive. So he wanted us to mention that on the podcast. And if you want to check that out, you can go to www.glop.org/Starforce. And they actually have a big list of all the games that have this included on their installation CDs. So if you do that, do not buy it because it really did fry his DVD drive. He's going to have to buy a new one.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does.
I would be extremely pissed.
It does. Have you ever seen Kenny Mad? He like turns red.
Never seen Kenny. I've never seen Kenny Mad. I get extremely mad at the Punkbuster stuff that comes to Battlefield 2142. That just...
Well, evidently this thing installs a new driver for your DVD drive or something like that. I think this is what it does.
So is it part of their copy protection stuff?
Yeah.
Is what it's doing that?
Yeah. And then it messes around with the speed of the drive and fries it. Like how fast it spins and all that stuff.
Yikes.
Bad stuff.
Yeah. So don't buy that game.
And there's a huge list. There's a huge list out here too of games that have it.
Well, make sure we get that in the show notes so everyone can keep aware of that, because I know that most of our listeners are avid gamers, and Neverwinter Nights is not their only game, so they play tons of others.
Right. Anyway, Kenny wanted us to mention that on the podcast.
Consider it done.
Okay, it's done.
The Fan Fiction Reviewers Guild Podcast.
A new podcast filled with an hour of fun, fiction, and fantasy.
I like the podcast for the simple reason that I'm in it.
The FFRG, the home of Jenna Rica, 2201.
Okay, so tonight, or should I say, okay, So for this show, we're finishing
Okay, Hauser.
Okay,
Hauser.
Okay, Hauser, we got like the last part of the part three, the last part of the talking of the Neverwinter Night storytelling community, right? That tonight.
Yeah.
So yeah,
Do that again.
Okay, so. I don't have all these like cute little voices that you guys do.
Okay.
I have a sexy voice. I don't need to have funny voices.
That's
too.
Right.
Do your laugh.
Damn it.
Do your laugh.
I'm sorry, stop it.
Did you tickle her? Cut that out.
You sticked his dragon on me.
All I have to do is say three words.
Do your laugh.
Stop it.
Yes, we have part three of the storytelling in the Neverwinter Nights mediums.
Yeah, that's easy for you to say. I've struggled with that on every show.
We have part three of the... Crap, now you got me messed up. Okay, yes, tonight we have part three of the storytelling across the Neverwinter Night mediums. Yes, we have...
Part three tonight. Be there.
Yes, we have part...
That channel, part three tonight.
Stop it.
Herding cats.
Yes, we have part three of the storytelling across Neverwinter Night mediums tonight, and that will conclude our series. I have a question.
No.
And it's kind of going along a different thread, but when you guys write your stories for whatever medium you write them for, do you usually write them in, say, a novel form before you, integrate that into, say, the Neverwinter Nights game? How do you approach the story?
Can I answer that one first?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, go right ahead.
The way I've tended to approach this is, first of all, like Tony, I actually have attempted to write a novel and didn't do that well. But anyhow, and so I already had a story in mind and where I wanted to go. But I still have to plan out each mod, and I have to come up with an outline. I have to spend a lot of time thinking about it. I have to keep revising it until I can finally figure out what important plot twist is going to happen in this mod. How does it fit into the overall story arc? I have to work out what the NPCs are going to do. There's actually quite a bit of upfront planning. And then once you got that basics in place, then you start coding it, and it's still very flexible and fluid. You partway through all decide, you know, I'm going to have a cutscene here because that's really going to emphasize this point. I'm going to add this little subquest, and I'm going to have this funny dialogue that's going to take place, and that will characterize this character. And so there's just a lot of planning that goes into it on my side. I hope Tony doesn't say it's easy for him, because it's hardly hard.
The only thing I have to say is that I have nothing else to say. That's exactly how I built.
I'm sure, Kevin, it's totally different with a persistent world, right?
It is different from the persistent world perspective in that what you're concerned with there is, as we talked about, that soundstage. You're focused on developing, you've done the same background work in creating your world, your idea of your setting, your campaign world, and where it is, what the motivations are of the people that live in this world in the various kingdoms. But what you're trying to do at this point is put them down in the module as members of society, build their areas, build their towns, all of the dangerous creatures, and create that in there. One of the things that comes into play when you're looking at that is you have to take into account a lot of really in-depth things, such as how do you handle the death and dying system? How do you handle resurrection and respawn? How do you handle the economy in there? When you're buying and selling things constantly and players are gaining wealth and money, how do you handle all sorts of things, from you know, from that perspective, there's a lot of system settings, for instance, you know, rental housing and purchasing housing and things of that nature that players eventually want to do just because they're a member of this world. As a matter of fact, I have a I worked with several groups on building some base Neverwinter Nights Persistent World builder kits, and I'm actually working with another collaborator right now on one for Neverwinter Nights 2 that we hope to release shortly. There's one early version of it out there, and I'm combining some of my my tools and scripts and so on in it. And basically it covers things such as, you know, how do you handle the XP, the experience point gain curve, how do you handle bleeding, dying, and death, how do you handle rental housing, how do you handle all of this stuff, and basically being able to turn on and select and configure all of these systems to take that out of the mix. So now you can focus on the building, putting your campaign setting down, getting your player character, non-player characters into place, and then working into your story arcs. There's a lot of heavy lifting underneath a persistent world in order to make it support itself.
I thought one of the very interesting things about that Gallowsburg persistent world is that reputation system that they have there.
Exactly. Those are the types of additional systems that are required in that foundation in order to make that happen. You're going to have characters that are going to try to break down every door in the sea, or that are going to go through and try to destroy every elf in the village. And while you could simply ignore that, you will find two types of other players, those that will, in character in the game, be appalled by it and expect the staff to punish said player, others that will giggle and whatever. So what you end up having to do is put in some checks and balances, some things that reputation systems and otherwise, so that when the DM is not there, as Bruce was, that says, yeah, you can go ahead and do that, but you'll have to reroll a new character, you basically want the NPC guards to say the same thing.
Good point, Kevin.
Well put, yeah. I think I mostly get caught on the one when I run into town and forget to put my weapons away. Mm. And the guards always run over and get me for that one. But, yeah, that kind of stuff is... Trey and I and a couple of our friends thought, you know, hey, Neverwinter Nights 2, we'll do a persistent world because we enjoyed playing them so much. And then when we got into thinking about all of the things, you know, and a lot of the same things that y'all been talking about for all three facets of the medium... are just amplified even more. You gotta have the story, you gotta have the back history, you've gotta have your main NPC, main characters, and then what happens when these guys wanna go kill everybody in the village, and how do you deal with all that? So I applaud all of you for your modules, cause I think it's a talent and a skill set and an art that I don't know that I could pull off.
Thanks.
What are the trends you guys are seeing in the community? Like, how many people do you think are playing these three different styles, or where do you see where that's going?
I think that, as far as trends go, I'm not sure that I see trends between different types, in the sense of the trends toward multiplayer or away from it, or towards persistent worlds. One thing that I do see, though, and this is relevant to storytelling, is that there's a, I think that there's a trend toward greater acceptance for linear play, as Bruce was defining it before. I think that linear play is primarily is characteristic of storytelling, that you can't really have a story unless there is to some extent linearity in what you're designing. The more linear, the deeper and more intense the story is possible. The more nonlinear you make it, the more general the story has to be. And I've seen a shift in perspectives. It used to be several years ago that linear was a dirty word, and I think it's getting to the point now where there are a lot of people, myself very much included, I'm a strong champion of linearity, who are willing to say that they really like linearity. They think it's a good thing. That they see the effect that has on the possibilities for storytelling, And I do, I have seen that there's a tendency toward both more linearity in modules and greater acceptance of that. There's also a trend toward more deeper story elements. People are more interested in trying to craft more detailed, more richer stories with elements that haven't appeared in the past. Things like romance, political intrigue, detailed character interaction with computer, not with other players, but with computer simulated characters, detailed dialogues, and so on. So I think those are some of the trends that I think I see.
Yeah, let me make a comment on linearity. You know, I've noticed that too, that linearity has at least traditionally had it been a dirty word amongst role players. In fact, if I can maybe plug a friend's website, Scorpia, who used to do the reviews in Computer Gaming World for role-playing games, she has a site now called Scorpia.com, which I would recommend people check out. A lot of people on that site still consider linearity a dirty word. Mm. And I find that interesting because when you come right down to it, I mean, you've got like, I gave the different types earlier on, like Final Fantasy versus BioWare versus Oblivion. The truth is that all of them use linearity. Yes. Final Fantasy is linear the entire way through. BioWare's approach is basically to have two merging linear plots. Mm-hmm. They're completely linear, with a middle section where you can choose to do a bunch of subquests, and that's the non-linear portion. But the story itself is linear. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Oblivion, which basically is just a collection of subquests, each one of which is linear.
Episodically linear, right.
You know, although usually they have multiple ways to solve it, which, you know, perceptive-wise, that makes you feel like it's not linear. It's still, the story is always linear. There's no way around that. So it's almost like it's a bunch of little lines instead of one line in the case of Oblivion, and then you can kind of decide which lines you're going to pick. So I agree with you that I think, I don't think there ever was a way around it. I think that the notion that it was a dirty word was a fundamental misunderstanding of the nature of our craft. However, I think what the people, when they talk about linear being a bad thing, I think what we're really getting at is the word that I used was agency. Mm-hmm. How much choice do I really get in how I'm going to define my character? And does that choice make a big difference or a smaller difference? And Scorpia really likes having the choices make a big difference. She was the one who, in my when I DM'd for her, I was the first time she ever tried Neverwinter Nights with a DM. I convinced her to join my campaign. She later played it single player and had expressed, you know, that choice you made, it didn't really affect that much in the outcome. And she was a little disappointed with that. Before she had played it single player and she'd only done it multiplayer, she didn't know it didn't affect very much. So there was an illusion there that that there was a bigger choice and that it was going to affect more of the outcome. And I think that there is maybe a dual trend where you got more people accepting, okay, let's get real, you have to have linearity. But at the same time, I think there's still a lot of people who really are pushing for, give me more options, let me have more agency, let that agency really affect what's going to happen in some way that I feel is meaningful.
Interactive storytelling is a balance between those two. Basically, what you have to do is balance the requirements of trying to give as many meaningful options as you can to the players, while at the same time having a tight and compelling storyline. And the more compelling that you want to try to make the story, the tighter and more linear you have to make it. And there's a very fine line to walk between those two. As we talked about before, one of the ways that people tend to try and get around that is to provide options that sort of re-merge with the central plot line, so that there's sort of a choice that leads to slightly different outcomes, but then basically ends you up at the same place. And I think that you're right. You have to, but again, going back to what I said before, there's a point beyond which you have to say you can't have all the choices that you want. And you have to say, look, here's what the story is. You have to either buy into the story or decide to play something else.
I'll approach it from a little different perspective, I guess, on the just looking at the persistent world side, since that's my chosen view here on this particular discussion. Though you know, I've contributed on all aspects of building and such. With I guess the advent of Neverwinter Nights 2, when as it got released, as its date came up, and finally did get released, there were several shortcomings. You won't find as many Neverwinter Nights 2 persistent worlds out there or coming online as rapidly, and there's been several barriers to that. One has been the complexity of the toolkit and somewhat its immaturity. The second being there are some barriers in that the in particular certain aspects of the new, I guess, terrain system that's used require a separate download of a walk mesh for those areas that's not done in line as you transition on the module. So the players need to have some component on their machine, even though it's not the entire module. Obsidian says they are working on that for the upcoming expansion release. There's going to be some changes in how that's handled. The latest patches, if anybody's kept in touch or listened to the podcast, you'll know that there's many fixes to the DM client, DM client as well as the toolkit that I think have the potential, and I say potential because, again, it's going to rely on the expansion pack sales and regenerating some interest to try to launch some persistent worlds coming up in the future here. It's an interesting launch, and I think there was the interview we had several episodes ago and discussion of the toolkit and how perhaps an opportunity was missed. Maybe true. Yet I think it can be recovered. And again, it goes back to our earlier discussion of I believe there's another opportunity for a business model or a paradigm or a shift or something here that's just being overlooked. Understanding that Atari needed it for their bottom line, which it turns out didn't show so well last quarter anyway. where can they change in order to help improve that?
Yeah, I do agree with that, actually, with regard to your points about Neverwinter Nights 2. Even from a single-player modding perspective, there is a lot of work that the toolset needs to be done in the toolset before it really can be useful for single-player modding without somebody torturing themselves mercilessly.
I think the other part
multiplayer. Yeah,
the persistent worlds are hit hard too in the lack of content, as it were. For a single player, you can look at the somewhat limited set of creatures and items. You can build a few things, and you can still adapt the story to it. When you're looking at a persistent world, when there's only a handful of this style creature and another handful of that style creature, you end up with not a lot of variety, and it becomes how do you get to that point where it becomes interesting again.
Oh yeah, I have a question for the other guys. Did either of you decide to enter the BioWare World Creation Contest?
I actually didn't even know about it. What is
was this the Neverwinter Nights 1 or World Creation or Neverwinter?
Neverwinter Nights 1, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it sounds like Neverwinter Nights 1.
Yeah, it's BioWare. Well, the deadline's tomorrow, so it's probably too late now.
It is, yes. No, I did not myself.
I think we mentioned that in an episode, didn't we?
Actually, you did. Now that I think about it, but I never went back to look it up.
Yeah,
You have to basically make a 40-minute module or less that shows off your talent as a game designer. So I actually took one of my mods and cut it down to 40 minutes. The contest with that.
So this is the contest where the winners possibly could get a job with BioWare to help develop their MMO. Is that
right? That's correct. Although I'll be happy if I just get the second place prize.
Yeah, I remember us talking about that one day in one of the episodes in the news section.
I equate putting a podcast together a lot like doing a 40-minute module twice a week, every 2 weeks. We prep, we put it all together, lay it all out, get on, get it all done, produce it, and go on to the next one.
And this little discussion right here is probably going to take me 8 hours to produce.
Yeah, they're good. About the contest, there's no way I would have had time to enter that anyway. There's too many things to do.
Real life getting in the way.
That's about where I was as well.
That's okay. I don't mind having reduced competition. You guys sound like pretty formal competition, so...
I would like to challenge the three of you guys to work together on a module. Mm-hmm. I think that would be incredible.
Quite a lot of ideas.
Yeah, I think if you guys incorporated all your ideas into a single story, oh my god.
Yeah, I've been doing some work still in the Neverwinter Nights 2 community. I've recently joined on with the team working on with Rogue Dow, working on the Planescape modules. With all the custom content that they've been doing behind the scenes, it's just tremendous. Being able to see some of that is just mind-boggling, the amount of effort that's gone in so far. Again, it's an internal beta that's been published, and I'm pleased to have been accepted to help out there a little bit.
Cool.
I've been loaning my expertise in as right now getting kind of some version control, some things under control to make sure that all the scripts and things that are being written are manageable. We can knock bugs out and keep things going.
Sounds like you're right down your alley, Jay.
Yeah, I was going to say, we need to have a talk. We can talk some other time, but that's exactly the kind of stuff I'm real curious about, how things get done, being a developer myself, so just not in the game industry. So. But one of the things you did say is brings up a real interesting point, and I thought was something that your Neverwinter Nights 2 tool set struggles with is custom content. I mean, with the Granny plugin, I don't know if it's come out yet or not, but the complexity of the tool set has increasingly gone up from Neverwinter Nights 1 to Neverwinter Nights 2. Of course, that inherently brings a power and flexibility to it, but it also makes it a little more difficult for the modding community to just jump in both feet and get something going rather quickly. Did you guys experience any of that, or what was in your experience in trying to tackle some of those hurdles?
Oh yeah, there's a big difference.
Both.
What they said.
Right, it's you look at the tool set and at first you're overwhelmed, then you start doing things and you can see you start to get like giddy with the power that you have, and then you come back to reality and say, but there's so much I have to do. The ability to add plugins in and such, as a matter of fact, for this version control effort, I've been creating a version control plugin in the module. Thankfully now the tool set itself works in a directory format. It allows you to unpack that module and work that way. To be honest, when I was in Neverwinter Nights 1, I did most of my work in an exploded directory format, just not in the tool set at that time. I would explode the module with tools and I would manipulate files and then I'd put it back into a module format, load it in the tool set and fix the few things that I needed to. So it's quite welcoming to me to have it work in that situation where we can, do individual things, use powerful editors on the scripts, and so on and so forth.
There are aspects of the tool set. I mean, I only went a certain distance with it before I decided to go back to building in Neverwinter Nights 1 for a while. I was concerned about the corruption issues, which I've been hearing are still problematic. The last time I tried building with it, I had corruption problems and decided that I wasn't going to risk hundreds of hours of work on that. A possibility, or alternatively spend a great deal of extra effort to do rolling saves and backups and so on. The other thing that there are aspects of the toolset that start getting easier after a while. Scripting is much easier once you realize that you can do simple things like pass parameters that you couldn't do before. And I think that in time, as one gets used to the toolset, that it'll eventually become less cumbersome. It's the limitations that I'm concerned with right now, the lack of custom content and the lack of tools with which to deal with the things that have become really much more complex, such as terrain.
Yeah, the terrain painting and the walk meshing stuff is what really, really brought me to a standstill trying to do anything. And I was in the toolset beta, and that was one I banged on and banged on and banged on. It's like, oh, this is way too hard to control. I mean, I got a little ridge here, and I can't walk straight over it. You know, in all real intents and purposes in a real world, I would have been able to just walk straight over it. But the way the walk mesh is laid down, it limits me from being able to do that, and I have to walk all the way around to get back where I was at. I've thought about getting into the scripting and stuff. I haven't because, you know, I'm a C# developer by profession, so I ought to be able to pick that kind of stuff up fairly easily, so I just haven't had a chance to dive into it. There's something else I was going to mention in what you said, but I can't remember what it is, so I guess I'll move on.
Does anybody know about the status of the Granny plugin? Has it been released?
Oh, I don't.
The what plugin?
I don't really know what it is. Getting close.
The Granny plugin.
The what plugin?
The Granny plugin for creating the 3D objects to import them into your toolset so you can create custom items.
I don't believe it has been released yet. As of my last knowledge, I know that the team is looking to use it, and everybody's looking to use that with a lot of the things that are happening. So there's a lot of great stuff coming on. So
I'm glad you brought that up because it made me remember what I was going to talk about. Do you guys feel that, you know, if you've been around since Neverwhere Nights 1 and now with Neverwhere Nights 2, we're talking about the limitations of the toolset and the limitations of the placeables and the objects and just things that you can put in the module, is that very much different than the way Neverwhere Nights 1 was? I mean, didn't it start out really light, and as each expansion came along, you got more and more things you could use in your modules?
Yes. It started off quite a bit lighter.
I wasn't around in the early stages, but that's everything that I've heard. Although one can argue that since Neverwinter Nights 2 had the example of Neverwinter Nights 1 to work from, that perhaps they shouldn't have repeated the same starting point.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say as well, is that it seems like where they really missed the boat was everything that was available currently in Neverwinter Nights 1 in the retail versions of it, to me, should have been where they started for Neverwinter Nights 2. There was an expectation of the community, I think. They never stated that, but that was, I think, the expectation.
That really never was a technical feasibility for a couple reasons. First of all, one is D&D 3.0 and one is 3.5. So there was fundamental incompatibilities with the classes, so they couldn't just move the prestige classes over. The other is more obvious. Yeah, you've got all of these monsters and these items and things like that built up in Neverwinter Nights 1, but you have to recreate every single one of them for Neverwinter Nights 2 because the graphics engine's different. So there really wouldn't have been the physical time frame, you know, within the time frame they had to release the game, there was no way they could possibly do that.
Well, there are issues with the choice of the 3D engine, though, and what you're saying is right, but on the other hand, the capability to take one of those old models and re-edit them for the new engine is the thing that would have been very much welcome when Neverwinter Nights 2 was released. But part of the problem is that because the format is proprietary, that's the Granny format that Neverwinter Nights 2 uses, unless you have a copy of Granny 3D, you really can't create models or edit models for Neverwinter Nights 2. And that's the whole reason why they now have been scrambling for the last, I don't know how many months, to get this Granny plugin together so that users of 3ds Max, for example, or other modeling programs can finally start creating models and animated models for Neverwinter Nights 2. The reason why almost none of them have appeared since Neverwinter Nights 2 came out is really that. And that's really the most important issue there, that there are certain things that the custom content community needed in order to be able to turn Neverwinter Nights 2 into the kind of
community that Neverwinter Nights 1 was. And I think that these things were not there, from what I can read historically, more often not there in the early days of Neverwinter Nights 1. But now that Neverwinter Nights 1, as an example, has been there, I would have hoped that these would have been some of the things that they would have thought of. Now, maybe there were technical infeasibilities to doing this. I'm not sure exactly what the details of what they had to deal with were, but the sentiment that was expressed in one of the interviews recently that there was a missed opportunity there. I think this is some aspect. Some of this is where the missed opportunity was. The failure to empower the custom content community and the developer community, the custom development community, is a real problem because that's ultimately what created the longevity of Neverwinter Nights 1.
I agree with what Tony is saying, but let me just say, as the one person who's actually worked in the game industry and knows what a dog-eat-dog world is, the truth is that Neverwinter Nights 1 had quite a bit more time to prepare than Neverwinter Nights 2 did. Their time frame for the game was like 2 years. I mean, it was nothing. And what they actually accomplished in that time frame just astounds me. I mean, I can't even fathom that they got done what they got done. It blows me away. So I think realistically they were under hard constraints from their publisher, Atari, that there's no way they could have addressed those. And as we know, Atari is not in great financial shape. So it's not like Atari could have accommodated it either financially.
Right.
Well, I completely agree with you. I think what we've got is phenomenal. I just think that it's a unique situation since we have Neverwinter Nights 1, and with the coming out of Neverwinter Nights 2, we have something to compare and contrast it to. I mean, well, it doesn't have everything that one had, and you're exactly right. If you look at the lifetime of Neverwinter Nights 1 and the age of the community and the commercial product itself with all of its expansion, the product development time has been exponentially longer than what we have experienced with just getting Neverwinter Nights 2. And with the improvements of the tool set and the game itself and the new engine and including the Granny with its problematic issues that are unique to that situation, it is a superior product. I would agree 100%. And I am equally amazed at what they have done because I've tried to do some of the stuff in my own day-to-day programming stuff in my own life, but so I know some of the complexities that go into that and how people can squeeze you for time to get things done. I just was, and I don't mean to keep going back to this, but I think there was a perceived perception of the community and a disappointment that we didn't start a little further along. And I, hopefully throughout expansions we got coming up now and through other things in this Granny plugin come out, that will quickly go away and we'll start to see more unique persistent worlds and game worlds and modules with unique content coming out. And that's, and building that, like you said, that's what's going to enable Neverwinter Nights 2 to become the longevity of a game. Even though Neverwinter Nights 1's retail life is over, I still far don't see Neverwinter Nights 1's game life at end at all.
I agree.
I'm kind of curious as to who's Obsidian is of the original team is working on the expansion. Most of the people that we've interviewed or talked to that were developers on it are not on that project anymore. They're on something else.
It's rare that you have the same team move over to the expansion. That's actually not that normal.
That just seems counterproductive.
So it's probably mostly a different team.
How much
the expansion was probably started before the game was done.
Mm-hmm.
So it may not have been impossible for it to be the same team.
Yeah, there was some mention of that they had started it, and then as the beta testing ramped up, everybody pulled onto this and moved out. And they talked about that from the perspective of there are fairly significant content additions and other aspects that will be released in this expansion, from what I've seen, so such that they said they had started on some of that.
Yeah.
And just then the entire team diverted to the release and now is being pushed back on there. Now that's obviously just reported out, though I think it was through some interview and discussion.
Well, remember with Neverwinter Nights 1, the first expansion was not only done by a different team, it was done by a different company.
Is that
actually BioWare? Yes, it is. BioWare actually outsourced, I forget who it was that did it, but they actually, it still was under the BioWare label and under the Atari label, But it was a different group altogether that did Shadows of Undrentide.
I didn't know that.
They were working very closely with them, obviously. That, by the way, is also very common in the industry.
Well, you probably have to have several projects going at once so that you can... Kind of the same way that we have to line up all these interviews and discussions way ahead of time so that we have enough material for the, you know, for the episodes. Sorry, I just thought of that.
We should be good for the next month now.
Oh, dudes.
Yeah, we'll at least get two episodes out of this.
I'm thinking three. We're like going on 2 hours right now. hey, but this is great. I really appreciate it. So do y'all think there will be a Never One Nights 3 anytime soon, or do you think that's pretty far out into the future?
It's too early to talk about that, I think. Yeah. I mean, it's not even fully clear that Neverwinter Nights 2 is going to fully take hold.
I predict there will not be one.
I think maybe one of the things that might happen is a little bit of an expansion in focus.
Yeah.
You know, Neverwinter Nights is a D&D based game, and there's starting to be develop an interest in other genres, but using the same format. I don't know if any of you guys have taken a look at, for example, the D20 Modern team that came out in Neverwinter Nights 1 with an entire, basically a gigantic hack pack that enables the development of Neverwinter Nights, in Neverwinter Nights 1 of modern content. So if you want to, for example, develop a spy story or, and of course it was the whole Firefly system for people who are fans of the Firefly series. They came out with a whole way of re-engineering characters. You know, instead of having classes like you know, mage and fighter and so on, they had, you know, computer users and you know, other types of characters that would be set in a modern setting.
Yes, I've come across some of those modules. I think we talked about some of them in our earlier episodes. Like you could have Uzis and guns and things, and I can't remember the mod that we came across, but
yeah, perhaps the next generation of this type of game will be something that's more configurable in, you know, in that respect.
Huh. Interesting.
I'm trying to remember. I think that I read just recently came across. Is it GRUPS? GRUPS? Is that what I'm thinking of? The generic
GURPS.
That's what it is. There is actually an effort to put together a game engine around that rule set.
Well, that's interesting.
That would be interesting. You know, I predict that there will not be a Neverwinter Nights 3. In fact, I actually think that this is the end of the line for our hobby until somebody breaks the code on how to make money off of this. That's my prophecy of doom and gloom.
Well, hopefully, that's what I was thinking of bringing up the GURPS thing. Go ahead.
No, as far as make money off of it, I mean... Whether Atari as a company is managing things correctly enough in selling video games or selling their product is one thing. It's really about the licensing of that Wizards of the Coast, that Dungeons and Dragons label. If there was Black Isle Entertainment and several others in the past with Baldur's Gate and Icewind Dale and those things that have moved through through time, and Neverwinter Nights came out in a new engine, basically a 3D model with characters from different camera angles. I kind of see where Neverwinter Nights 2 has kind of reached the end of that genre of things. It's such a compelling franchise at another level. I can certainly see some wheels turning somewhere that say, you know, we can do this, we can do this better, we can make this happen. Again, it really comes down to, all of those types of issues. BioWare made a conscious decision not to follow on with Neverwinter Nights 2 and to go on their own way with what they're developing as Dragon Age, their own rule set, their own intellectual property. So we'll see where that goes. There's going to be some other efforts along those lines.
That's what I was going to ask. What if you thought something like the GURPS project or someone's building something like Dragon's Age would come out with a similar tool set, and a licensing model that allowed for, you know, a marketplace to be built for the, for amateurish, or not amateurish, but odd developers to, amateur meaning not being part of the game industry, to start right. capitalizing on revenue streams on their module development. Do you think a lot of the community would step into that arena and try their hand at it and see how it goes?
In a heartbeat.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
I would without hesitation.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, to be able to, I go back to the multiplayer game engine, and its drawbacks, and the mere fact that there is a multiplayer game engine and a single player game engine, or there's actually different, code that executes at some level, where Oblivion doesn't have that. It has a single engine. Now, it is only a single player game, but it runs in parallel. The world progresses as you do. Things happen there because of that. It's because that multiplayer quote engine is running in a single player mode there in that world. So yeah, absolutely. I would see that happening. And you know, a company like Wizards or with that intellectual property with that in mind, you know, it would be nice to see them take advantage of that type of open system, as they did with the D20 type system.
You know, I could almost see a model built up similar to Second Life, which I don't necessarily recommend. I think it's got such a horrible interface. But the whole idea that you sell land and then you can make your own mods inside of a growing world or something like that, you could almost see something like that being a viable business model for this.
Interesting.
Social networking, Dungeons and Dragons meets Web 2.0.
Exactly.
Okay, guys. Y'all want to do closing remarks?
I'm sleepy. Is that a closing remark?
I'm not sure what time it is where everyone is, but
it's
approaching midnight
it's
here.
Getting late.
We've gone beyond here. well... You know, from my perspective, this, from all the fun that I've had over the years, managing Persistent Worlds, and building, modules, in that space, it's been a constant challenge to, evolve it to the next level or the next, big thing, which, you know, I think it's matured, the Persistent World the Persistent World community has matured to the point where it is truly focused on trying to develop a rich campaign setting to give players that that pen and paper feel in a Persistent World that they can come to at their convenience. They don't have to, if the DM and the player can't meet up on schedule, there's still enough for them to do. They can come there and they can enjoy themselves, in a world, in a hobby, something to pass their time that they enjoy. And, I've had a great time doing it. And, I certainly looking back, I'd do a few things differently. And we're trying to do that as we're going to try to, honestly launch a second generation here. And we have a very defined initial plot line that we're going to build the campaign setting around and several story arcs that we're going to prepare to kick off. And, hopefully those will come to pass, and as Mask of the Betrayer and these the patches are released and provide the capabilities and the stability within the game, it would be wonderful to see at least a small resurgence of some of the community.
Well, I'm just happy to have been invited back to the show. This has been great. I've been dying to ask questions like this and hear answers from other community leaders and find out their thoughts on a lot of these things. And so I appreciate being able to join in with Kevin and Tony here.
Tony?
Yeah, and I'm not sure that I could say it better than that. I really enjoyed this too.
All right, and we really appreciate you guys. We feel a privilege that we're able to even have you on here and get you all together to talk about this. It's really awesome.
My pleasure.
Jay, anything else you want to say before we...
I just reiterate one of the things that you've typed earlier was I bow in reverence to the collective knowledge you guys have. It's just incredible to listen to your different perspectives on the community and the tool sets and module development and story-driven content. So I really appreciate you sharing that with us and our listeners. I know we'll all be enlightened because of it.
It was hard fought, hard won, but we're willing to share. At least I am, for sure. So anybody wants to know something, drop me a line, and we'll try to figure it out.
Yes. And we'll put in the show notes for everyone how to contact all you guys and have your websites on there as well. So, all right. Hey, we really do appreciate it, and let's do this again.
Hey, guys, it's been fun.
All right. Thanks.
So have a good night or good morning, wherever you may be.
Have a good night, everybody.
See you later.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, so that concludes part three of the discussion about storytelling in the Neverwinter Nights realm, and we hope you enjoyed that.
So what did you think of it, Jay?
I thought it was incredible. I loved listening to these guys, even when it happened, and every time you've produced that piece of it and put it back out, I've loved re-listening to it because it was just amazing the depth of information and knowledge these people brought from the community.
One of the guys who was listening to, I think, the first part, and he said he listens to the podcast in his car on the way to work. And he goes, man, I can't believe it. This kind of gave me some more ideas. So I was listening to it again, and I was in it.
Yeah. I think those guys could have talked for a week if we'd have just let them go.
I think they're ready to do another one.
Probably are.
I do have an interview ready for next week. It's already been recorded.
Okay, who's that going to be with? Well, tease us. Tease me, baby. Tease me.
That is going to be with the Island Adventure series, which I am almost talking them into doing their part three of Neverwinter Nights 2. And they were originally going to do a part three, but their lives got extremely busy, but they've been getting some encouragement to do it, and I'm hoping they do. However, it was a phenomenal interview. They were very intelligent, articulate, very nice, and I enjoyed it quite a bit.
If you've enjoyed the show and would like to help out, we recommend clicking on the PayPal donate link on our website. Placing a few gold pieces in the coffers will go a long way in supporting our efforts.
And if you would like to leave us a voicemail, you can use Skype to leave us an audio comment or question by calling NWN Podcast, all one word. Your comment or question will be recorded and used in a future show.
You can also email us at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com.
So have we gotten any of those yet?
No, that's why I was going to add the show part the email address.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next time when we will be having an interview with Lady Una and Lord Alex in the Island Adventure series.
If you have comments or questions, you can contact us at show@neverwinternightspodcast, or you can leave us an audio comment or question via Skype by calling NWN Podcast, all one word. Until next time,
get in game and
level up, level up, level up.
Hey, mod development team, how would you like to have your mod placed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast, the first and only podcast dedicated to the Neverwinter Nights game series? All you have to do is go to the website located at neverwinternightspodcast.com, that's neverwinternightspodcast.com, and follow the instructions on the Submit a Mod Light page. Hey, you're going to go create all those really cool trailers anyway, aren't you? Why not put it on the Neverwinter Nights podcast too? It's quick, it's easy, it's fun. You get to produce the audio spot that will appear in the show. You are in control of the content. It's your voice and your words. Why wait? Act now. You could tell the world about your mod. Just follow the instructions. Keep time on the admin. It's no coupon required. No purchase required. Offer valid in Horny Planet RC back. Box details. Thoughts and opinions contained in the Mod Spotlight and Mod Thoughts and opinions on Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, or their partners and employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, which is solely responsible for its content.
Hello, I'm Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda.
No, you're not. I am.
So are we going to read the little spiel about the Mac or not?
I'm getting the link now. Please stand by.
I already have it up.
Yes, but Mr. Dre, he don't have it.
Voice.
Oh, that's one of my favorite voices that he does, by the way.
I'm getting it for my friend, so shut the hell up.
It's Speedy Gonzalez. Oh, yeah. We got to play Speedy Gonzalez, too. Well, I guess we'll get to that in the feedback.
Oh, yeah. You can download and play it what it's supposed to sound like.
I will. But, well, I'll eat into it, though.
Arriba.
You're going to eat into it?
Oh, don't do that.
I said lead.
Okay, I sent you a Skype communication with the URL for the Mac one, okay, Mac? You got that, Mac? It's all for you, Mac.
You never know how many people are going to show up, so you just put, it's an example.
Okay.
But Jay is definitely
Leo,
there.
Leo gets. Gets. Leo gets what Leo gets, okay?
He's special. Oh, crap, I don't have his name out here. Oh, it was Merlin.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. Talk slower.
And then he tells about how he went and had lunch with them and they ate fried pickles.
Yeah, can I go now?
Oh, wait, hold on, that was a cool thing he said. I can't find it now. You know, when you go to McDonald's and you get a Mac, a Big Mac,
Slaw beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese.
And enjoy the rest of the podcast.
I'm going to have bad dreams tonight.
Are you sticking my dragon on you?
Can I say something?
Uh-oh.
I'm going to say it anyway. It doesn't matter. Learned is not a word.
Hey, I copied that from another site. I did not type
okay.
that.
Okay.